welcome to Milkshake Mondays, episode 17. I'm Anita Helm. I'm Pastor William Helm's wife, and we are a part of the Resurrection Baptist Church out of Reston, Virginia, for those who I have not been telling that to. I wanted to talk tonight about accepting what God hates or what the Lord hates. How this came about is a couple weeks ago in my personal life, I was saying something, and as I was leaving the room, I heard somebody say, "Well, we just have to accept it. That's just the way it is. Just accept it." And I had left the room, and by the time I came back, I was a coward, honestly. I had to repent before the Lord because I could have addressed it, but there are times that I just wait and say, "Lord, do you want me to just address this?" And for 2 weeks, this has bothered me. So I wanted to teach on this tonight, and that's really the genesis of what happened. I want to take you to Acts chapter 18. I didn't write that in the actual post, but I want you to see about Apollos, and I want you to understand about how there are times where the Lord does have us to take people aside and to give them more understanding about the Word of God. And this is an example out of Acts chapter 18. We're going to start at verse 25. It says, "This man had been," talking about Apollos, "this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." And that's really what I should have done in the circumstances that I was in a few weeks ago. But at the same time, I find myself in this situation often. And because I'm a type of like passive aggressive, I don't want to be aggressive, but at the same time, I don't want untruth to continue. So like many of us as Christians, we want to get along. We want to be people pleasers. We want to have people like us. But at the same time, we're in an evil age where Satan is getting more bold in everything that he's doing. And the Christians are becoming more silent. And the truth of God is bold, and he wants us to be courageous and stepping out in faith on the truth of God's word. So I wanted to ask this question: are we able to be instructed and to be corrected? And I wanted to show you a couple of scriptures in Proverbs, because Proverbs tonight is going to be a great teacher. I know with these topics that I'm going to talk about tonight, accepting what the Lord hates and what God hates, they're sensitive topics because none of us want to address them because it involves family. It involves coworkers. It involves girlfriends and boyfriends and husbands and wives and all kinds of people in our lives that, depending on how we address this subject, it's going to cut, because the Word of God is a two-edged sword. So we know these topics are touchy, but God is saying we have to speak because His Word is not going to return void, but we've got to not be silent. Now look at Proverbs chapter 1. Many of us know Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. It talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it explains that, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." And even with us Christians, those of us like Apollos who have been in the house of God, we're disciples. A lot of us don't want to be told this is not right in accordance with the Word of God, that you're living outside of the boundaries of what the Lord wants us to do. We don't want to hear that. We'll stop tithing, we'll start coming, we'll start getting an attitude, we get funky. But the reality is the Lord is always giving his word to reproof, and it's pruning us to get better and to grow. Here's my favorite scripture out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. I can't read them all, but here's a couple pieces. Even when we step out in faith to correct and to share with the word of God, with the people, the word of God, we have to trust God. And that's what the scripture says. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." Now here's the part that gets us. "And lean not to our own understanding." Our understanding means that there will be times where we're going to say what the word says and people are not going to like it. Satan is not going to like it, and he's going to cause trouble for each and every one of us. Trouble at our job, trouble in our homes, because we got misbehaving young adults who need to hear the truth of the word. We got misbehaving grown adults who need to hear the word of God. And people don't like to be corrected. They don't like to hear that we are questioning who you think you are. You think you high and mighty? You think you God? No, I know I'm not God. I know I am a sinner saved by grace. I understand this is convicting me. So if I'm sharing with you, I love you enough to share the truth with you because I don't want anybody going to hell. It says it is not his will that any should perish. And all of us that have people in our lives, those people are there for a reason for us to share the message of grace to them. We may be planting a seed and somebody else may be watering, but the Lord is going to give the increase, but we at least have to plant the seed. But here's what it says. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. But here's the thing about it, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Well, many of us will say, we know that God doesn't like sin. We got that. But what does he really think is sin? What does he hate? Now, before I get to Proverbs 6, and I'm going to break it down in Proverbs 6, what he says, I'm going to take Anita out of it as much as possible and just read the scripture. But I wanted you to see that in Proverbs chapter, I just turned the page. So Proverbs chapter 14, before we get to Proverbs chapter 6, it says something again about us and it says, verse 12 in chapter 14, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. In what we're seeing in 2018, many of us think we're living the right life. We think we've got our business handled, our house is in order in our own minds. We're living a good life. We're being nice to people. We're going to church. We're taking our kids to school, taking them to soccer practice. We're taking the pictures to show how our life is grand. We're having a grand old time. But in reality, what we believe is right in our eyes is not right in God's eyes. And I'm going to show you the scriptures where the Lord teaches us that out of Isaiah 55, we're going to go there. What we think, his thoughts are not our thoughts. They're far from where he is. And we got to get to understanding where God is, because if we don't, we could find ourselves in death, in the lake of fire, in hell, with Satan and all of his demonic forces. But we said we're good people. But good people without knowledge of who God is and what he expects are going to be people who are going to find themselves separated from God. Well, now we're ready to go and look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, many people don't listen to this very often, because when it talks about a lot of the teaching in the church, we're talking about getting money, prosperity, getting the house, getting the bills paid, getting the kids taken care of, all that kind of stuff. But here's the thing that God says he hates. It says six things, but there's seven which are abominations. But if you go to Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to start on verse 16, it says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Meaning, if you don't get this, a big word, if you don't understand hate, then I can say despises, despicable. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He's holy. This is totally opposite of holy. Evil. Cannot stand it. I've broken it down as best I can. So there are six things that the Lord hates. Here's the first, a proud look. Now you'll say, God doesn't like pride. But why would he put a proud look? I want you all to think about that. Why did he put a proud look? If somebody's being prideful, what exactly is the look? We know what arrogance is. You know when somebody's being arrogant. You know what people have that haughty nature to them. They're uppity. They're better. I want you to think. A proud look. A lying tongue. Now, everybody, even a kid, knows a lie. I didn't do that, mommy. I didn't take that. I didn't break that. A lying tongue. We all start out with it from the babe until now. A lying tongue. That one's an easy one. Hands that shed innocent blood. You can go on the cable news every day and somebody's had a drive-by shooting and shot somebody's husband or somebody's child or somebody's mother. Just took their blood and kill them, shot them with a gun, stab them with a knife, put cyanide, do all these things. So you know what that is. It says here, a heart that devises wicked plans. Here's another one. feet that are swift in running to evil, that just gotta do evil. They just love it. They're just running toward it. A false witness who speaks lies. Now you just saw that he hates a lying tongue. Then he came back and said a false witness. False witness has lying in it too. But it says that you are witnessing, you are giving testimony to something and it's false. It's a lie. It's not truthful. And your witness is no good because you have lied. That's perjury. And one who sows discord among the brethren. And there's a lot of people that do that every day. You see it in schools, always making trouble. You see it in homes where somebody's cousin, somebody's sister-in-law, somebody's brother-in-law, somebody's friend, always stirring stuff up for evil purposes, for discord, for disharmony, for problems. Can't leave well enough alone because they're so miserable, they got to be stirring stuff up. So that's a list. But let's think about when you were a child. You had the list of the Ten Commandments. You remember them. Exodus 20. Thou shalt not have. Come on, you should know it by now. Well, you know there's a list of 10. Go to Exodus 20 and look at the list of 10. He gave you a list of the things that thou shalt not. But you know, all of us cannot really live the thou shalt not. That's why Jesus had to come. But you know, that's another list of things that he wants us not to do because he doesn't like it. But this list was hate. Well, we've also seen, let's go over to Leviticus chapter 18 and 19. When they were coming out of, the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, the Lord had the prophet and the priest tell the people of Israel some things about, I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing this. It was a whole laundry list. It was a whole book. So what you'll have here in Leviticus, take a moment to just look through it for a second. And what you'll find is that if I were to read, now if there are kids in the house, I'm not going to read all of this, but if there are kids in the house, you would basically be telling these kids that they needed to kind of move aside for a minute. But let's just say, if I'm not going to read all these, but let's give you an example of what you're going to see in this. If you've accepted or you have a great subscription to Playboy, Hustler, Brawzers, Hot Toddies, I don't know what they're called today, but I know there's plenty of movie channels, whether it's HBO, Cinemax, all those places where you have After Dark and all that stuff. I'm not under a rock. People think that because you're a Christian, because you're a preacher's wife, you don't know about sex, you don't know about drinking, you don't know about porn, you don't know about cussing, you don't know about anything. Get a life. All of the stuff that you see in Leviticus 18 and 19, the whole book of Leviticus, but I'm just focusing on it. You're talking about the Lord doesn't want people, his people, to be having sex with the mamas, the mom-in-laws, the cousins, in kin, all that stuff. That whole list could be the whole promo of all the things that you all see on every porn challenge you can imagine. Because what has happened is, the things that God is telling you that are corruptible for us, that are no good for us, are the things that we love, we accept. Like I said, many of us could even have the subscriptions to them. We've accepted it. That's what we like. That's what our flesh likes. And I've even seen counselors say, you got to be careful with putting all that stuff in because it's going to corrupt your relationships. You can't imagine that your wife or your husband's going to do what you see somebody with 15 producers and lighting and all this stuff doing on a porn channel. But that's exactly what's happening in Leviticus 8. Don't get yourself caught up with that kind of living. Well, you may see also too, it says on verse 22 of Leviticus chapter 18, you shall not lie with a male, not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Remember that talk? Nor shall you mate with any animal. All these things you say, well, come on, we know this. Do we? I mean, many of us have family, friends, coworkers. My point is not to be evil to people, to be unloving to people, but don't get to a place in your relationship as a Christian where you just go silent. Nobody's looking to embarrass anybody, but pull them aside like Apollos and share with them, okay, honey, I love you. Okay, darling, I love you, but I just want you to understand that the Lord does not receive this behavior. he is not going to accept this relationship. And they may know it, but in love, you have to speak the truth in love and let them know that I love you. You the person, I love you, and God loves you, but he hates sin. And all of us, whether we're heterosexual or homosexual, have to realize that all of us have to give an account for the sin that we do in our life. But God wants us to repent of our sins. All of us have them. I'm not high and lifted up and say, I don't have sin. Only one is righteous, and that's Jesus Christ. But I wanted you to see something else. Go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. I'm not going to the typical place that most people think, oh, go to Romans 1, oh, go to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis. I want to talk about sin overarching. I don't want to just focus on one sin, because that's where we get in trouble. We focus on one set of sins, the sexual sins, and we don't think of the emotional sins. We don't think of the physical sins. We don't think about all kinds of behaviors in our finances. Sin is not just one element. But if you go to Genesis chapter 6, I want you to see what is read in verse 5 through 6. Verse 5 says, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man. And he said here that he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We're getting to the place that everything in our lives we see on TV every day, that people are coming up with all kinds of abilities to be evil one to another. And that's not by themselves, because we learn that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but this is a spiritual wickedness in high places. This is demonic activity over and over again. And this is what's happening every day. But look at verse 6. It says, and the Lord was sorry. That always gets me. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And even when we saw what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, or when they had the flood of Noah, that the evilness had reached his nostrils. He saw here, but this, he smelled the evilness, the filth of what was happening to the people that he created. But I don't want you to lose hope. I want you to see a couple more scriptures before I end tonight. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to start at verse 6. Because I don't want you to get, if you find like I was having trouble with this teaching, because I needed to repent. God needed me to repent before I could actually talk about this. I'm not a preacher. I'm a Christian. I am a believer like you, a lay person. I'm learning. God and the Holy Spirit are teaching me every day. And here it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. If you have been a person that's been silent, repent and tell God, forgive me, Lord. But it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. All of us need to repent. Let us all forsake our ways. We know it's a day by day. Salvation is a process. He saved us. We're definitely saved. We are saved. But it's a process of us learning. He's sanctifying us. That is a daily thing that he's pruning and telling us through this word of how to live. And it says here, jump down to verse 8, because where we don't understand is that it talks about the Lord. It says here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I love if you have the opportunity to go to Psalms 139, because you get to know that God knows us, but we don't know him very well. And because we don't know him very well, we do things and we accept things without knowing that they are sins to him. They are abominations to him. In this political climate, I wanted to read something to you. And I didn't want to say it in a sense that was political, but I wanted, we just had a, a lot going on. And I have been asking God, I've been really seeking to understand how things transpired over the last 2 years. And I read this scripture in preparation today, and I want you just to hear the word of God, because I'm not going to give any commentary. I just want to read it, and I want to put a cherry on something else I'm going to tell you for tonight, and I'm going to end it this way. But remember the six things that God hates when I read this. Proverbs chapter 21 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who has hasty surely to poverty, who is hasty surely to poverty. Getting treasure by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. The way of a guilty man is perverse, but as for the pure, his work is right. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." The last verse. "The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes." I leave you with accepting what God hates for that. No, I'm not finished. The cherry on top here. I wanted to tell you that this weekend we're having something where we're sharing with those in need. Not just homeless, not just people who have nothing, but even those of us who struggle with paycheck to paycheck. People often say, if they have this Mercedes, if they have this big house, they got it all going on. That's not always true. People that have nice things struggle. They got to struggle to keep it all together. They may look on the outside that they got it, but we're wanting that anyone that's in Reston, Virginia at 2310 Colts Neck Road, that's a Reston Community Center, Hunter's Woods, from 1 to 4. Please come out, and if you have a need or if you know somebody that has a need, please come out and get a bag for them and take it back to them and be a witness to them. If you have a car and you can come get it for them. We are not going to turn people away who have a need. We don't want people coming just to hoard, but we want people in need. And I ask for those of you who are in different states who are hearing this, I ask you to pray. Pray for the event for Saturday and pray for our ministry, Resurrection Baptist Church. We're not desiring to grow for membership's sake. We're desiring to grow for the Lord, for disciples who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. That's our mission, to go and to tell people who Jesus Christ is. We don't care about the buildings. We don't care about all the pomp and circumstances. We want people to know who Jesus is and to go and share the message of Christ. And my last point is this. A lot of people, when we've told them about this event, it says, "I don't really know anybody in need. I don't really know anybody who's struggling. I don't really know anybody who's poor. I don't really know anybody who's hungry or homeless." Okay, pause. If you are doing the work of the Lord and you don't know anybody in need of anything, I need you to stop. Go into your prayer closet and pray. We got a lot of people in need of Jesus. We got a lot of people in need of things in our household that they don't have food. People don't have homes. You can go down the street and see a man that has a sign or a woman that has a sign that says, "I need work. I need money." So you don't know anybody? I want to say it without good grammar. You don't know nobody? Really? I'd ask you to go pray about that, because there's something that you need to go check yourself, because God is wanting to use you, and you must be fishing in an empty fish tank, and he's got plenty of fish tank with fish, and the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. So I thank you for your time tonight. I asked you to go and look up our RBC Reverend Helm channel on YouTube and keep our prayer. Keep us in prayer at all times. We want to do the work of Christ, and we need you. Share the messages, share the posts, share the scriptures, talk to one another, train, help other people. You are to be somebody's mentor to disciple others. I love you and have a good week. Bye-bye.